B-Pod Studios.
97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show. We open a week right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Live 97.5 The Fanatic and also NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to the people watching us on television today in the Super Bowl last night. Super Bowl stunk. Good night, everybody. No, I guess we got to do a show about it. There are some Super Bowls that are better than others. Last night was not one of them. And listen, I don't know. What are you going to say about it? The teams weren't sharp offensively at all. They allowed the defenses to dictate, and they probably shouldn't have allowed the defenses to dictate because those defenses weren't that great. And time and time again, you saw the Rams just sputter and sputter and sputter. And it made Jared Goff look terrible last night. I mean, he looks like a very unprepared, skittish quarterback, kind of scared of a moment. And he was last night. And Brady wasn't that much better. He was okay. He was good enough to get him down to the drive that wins the game, throws the perfect pass to Gronkowski, and Sonny Michel gets the touchdown that kind of wins the game for the New England Patriots. But overall, it was a boring, tedious 4 hours to watch. And I found myself flipping. I never do that, man. I never flip because I want to at least see the commercials. And I was flipping. Law and Order. Law and Order was on. I was flipping to Law and Order. I was catching the plot between commercials and stuff with the Super Bowl.
Jack McCoy up to his...
with the new cast. There's always new detectives and stuff like that. And I was just bored. I was looking for something else. I couldn't believe that game was so boring. There was no action at all. And then I got to get the halftime show for some action. And, I'm not a Maroon 5 fan, okay? But I do recognize a couple of the songs. And, I thought it was an okay halftime show. I know a lot of people were ripping into it, but I think it's fashionable to rip into a halftime show for whatever reason. You don't like the guy, you don't like the band, you don't like the setup, whatever it was. It was fine. For entertainment purposes, it was fine. Now, I'm confused as to why Adam Levine felt the need to take his shirt off there.
Well, you know why.
Why?
Because it was fine.
I mean, been in the gym.
Because
the ladies loved it. The ladies loved it.
He's got all these tats that are real, but they're disjointed. It's a bad tat job.
He's not done.
Yeah, but they're all disjointed. All his tats are disjointed. There's nothing has to do with anything else. They're just like splotches all over the place.
They mean something to him.
All right, Nat, go ahead. Give me your assessment of Adam Levine.
No, I thought he looked great. That's my assessment.
You thought he looked great.
Yeah.
A lot of people pan in the tank top that he wore.
Well, the tank top was suspect.
Super suspect.
It looked like someone's like 70s couch. That's what they were comparing it to.
Yeah.
But
it was suspect.
I was surprised that there were that many Adam Levine defenders. Now, I tweeted last night, the tats apparently are real, but the guitar playing's not. And what I meant by that is that there was dubbed. That was dubbed.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
It has to be.
So
almost.
He's doing this with the guitar. And I go, and people thought I was taking a shot at his guitar playing. No, Mikey, this man. At Howard Stern's party, he played Purple Rain. And I'm going, what about these dudes that are defending Adam Levine? Like, what's that about?
It's just because you said something about him.
That's
why. Yeah.
Although I didn't realize he had this dude branch of defenders out there.
He does. I end up actually defending Adam Levine a little bit last night. Yeah, a little bit. People hated it. I didn't hate it.
I don't hate him.
I thought it was fine.
I don't really know much about Maroon 5. I got to be honest with you.
I think you like them more than you think.
I mean, I like the one song, My Way.
That's not him.
Oh, it's not him. Well, what did he do?
My Way, Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys. But he did something like that. He did a song like that last night, right? What was the song he did?
I don't know.
She will be loved.
Yeah.
She will be loved. Yeah, that's the one I recognized. I recognize She Will Be Loved.
Yeah.
So I was all cool with it. What are they doing at halftime is fine by me, man. They got to play the hits. They got to play somebody who's not going to offend anybody. He's kind of vanilla. He's kind of beefcake if you're a guy, you know?
Well, the problem is Timberlake was better last year, and Gaga was better the year before. So that's part of the reason why people ripped it. In that he was fine. It wasn't terrible, but he wasn't as good as Timberlake, and Timberlake wasn't
well,
awesome.
Timberlake is a dancer. Right. Adam Levine's more of just like the hot front man.
And then Gaga was incredible. And then at the end, she dived to her death.
Uh-huh.
At the end,
right.
But remember how she just dove off the stage and people didn't know where she went.
Right.
He didn't have any like wow factor in there. Yeah. The only wow factor, I guess, would have been Travis Scott's part if you were into the New York coming down.
Travis Scott's entrance.
Yes. Yeah,
a lot of people didn't like his performance. I thought he was fine. I thought he was better than Big Boy, to be honest with you.
He was better than Big Boy. He actually was. Big Boy, though, but Big Boy had the car come in. That was pretty cool.
I thought Big Boy was bored by the whole procedure.
I think he was.
You know?
I kind of agree.
He was bored. He's like, what am I doing here? I'm going to give half-ass effort.
And he's had a lot of songs since then. Uh-huh. And he even has a song with them. And then instead they make him go back 12 years to do a song. So...
He has a song with my girl Sarah Barthel from Fantagram.
He does? Oh,
yeah, he does.
Their collaboration was called Big Grams.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some Big Grams.
Yeah, I'll play some Big Grams a little later. Yeah. Big Boy, in honor of Big Boy. Now, the commercials are the other thing that people... God, if the commercials wasn't important last night to anybody, they weren't important to anybody ever. Because last night is when you needed that for entertainment value. And the commercials were kind of lame, to be honest with you. You know, everybody was going crazy with the Chunky Milk commercial.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
It's kind of gross.
I did like the Dietz Nuts one.
Yeah, but that's a rip-off off of Dietz Nuts. These local guys bring in stuff, and nuts are called Dietz Nuts.
I know. I thought it was just funny.
Yeah, see, a lot of the rest of the world didn't know about this local Dietz Nuts thing that we have here.
Yeah.
The company.
The best commercial to me wasn't really a commercial. It was the NFL 100.
Well, NFL 100, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Where Paul Barkley was jumping over the table.
Yeah.
The only negative of that was Goodell's fraud behind shouldn't have been in it. Get out of the way.
Yeah, he was in there.
You shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, and there was the inside commercial with the dude from Big Lebowski asking for Stella Artois. He went Artois, though, because he orders White Russians. But see, a lot of people didn't know that about the Big Lebowski. You're not a Big Lebowski guy.
I've seen it once.
Yeah, so you didn't know the nuances of it.
I did.
Where he's going in, all he does is order White Russians. That's all it was, the whole thing was White Russians. So he goes in there, I think I'll have Stella Artois, because he didn't even know what it was. And then the guy from the Dos Equis was sitting at the bar. Oh, you notice that?
Yeah.
The old guy got phased out for the new guy.
Yeah.
The new guy not as successful.
Right.
They should bring back the old guy.
Right. So I have all the the ad meter registers for USA Today and what people thought were the best ads because we have to talk about that. There's nothing to talk about with the Super Bowl. I'm trying to think of like subplots. No Super Bowl subplots. Well, tomorrow is a big day. Trading deadline for the Sixers. And a lot of people think the Sixers can make a move. A lot of people think they're going to come up empty. There are some interesting little deals that we'll go over. And, of course, Carson Wentz discussed the criticism that was levied on him by the Philly Voice, calling him a selfish player. He answered some things, and he said he was kind of flabbergasted by it. It like came out of nowhere. And he said he never felt any friction in the locker room or sentiment that would suggest what came up in that story. And... he said that if it did, it should be handled in-house. And so when they asked him, how are you planning to handle it? And he says, does it really matter? If these were really issues, if someone did say those things, they're probably like, yeah, maybe that's not how it should have come out. I think if that was said, they probably realize as a teammate and a family, we usually handle things like that in-house. So I'm kind of like, it doesn't really matter. And that's a very mature way of looking at it. So Tyrone, when you saw his responses, what did you think?
To me, I can only speak for myself, it takes more away from the story. Because if the initial point of the story was Carson's a bad guy, he's selfish, mm-hmm. he's a bully, he's all these things. I know bullies. I know them. I know tons of bullies. They don't handle situations like this well. He must be the greatest actor in the world. And I'm not saying he's perfect. And he admitted that the injuries have bothered him. What I'm saying is, at his core, is he a good or bad guy? Him handling it this well tells me he's a good guy. Because bad guys reveal themselves when there's adversity. And this is this was adversity. And there was a chance there to throw somebody under the bus. There was a chance there to call somebody out. Or even just to have an alibi. He didn't do any of that. So for now, I just have to say he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm surprised he addressed it by saying, yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. There's human elements to that. And I really look at it and say, well, I can get better. Well, I would answer by saying, well, listen, I never thought I was selfish, but people do. If there are actually people out there that thought I was selfish in the locker room, then, you know, maybe I got to work on some things. But, you know, he said, yes, I can be selfish. I wouldn't have admitted that.
I mean, if that's how he feels, he says, yeah, I can be selfish.
He's just kind of patronizing the whole thing by taking, you know, taking the thorns. And there's no need to take the thorns.
I think that was being him genuine at his age. Right. That's just my opinion. Maybe other people see it differently. I would answer
differently. I would say, well, you know, maybe I am selfish. I'm not aware of it. But if I am selfish, I will certainly work on that. That, to me, is a much better answer.
Oh, you do. Yeah. See, to me, your answer came off like, nah, I like his answer better than yours.
Yeah? Well, he's admitting flaws.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not going to admit flaws.
Why not? We all have flaws.
What did I do? I was just sitting out. I didn't do anything.
We all have flaws.
This flimsy story comes out attacking me and all this crap. I don't know that it's true or not. So why would I admit I'm selfish?
I feel like this is Carson taking ownership of that article in a way.
Of some of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take ownership by saying, I think I'll review the situation. Maybe I'm selfish. But as of this moment, I never thought I was selfish. I just thought I was leading the team as a quarterback. But, you know, maybe the six people who sounded off anonymously, you know, think I'm selfish, so I got to address it.
See, but that's not, what I mean.
I'm just telling you what I wouldn't admit I was selfish.
You know,
Mike would have poked the bear. Mike would have poked the bear.
It's all for the team. If I'm selfish, it's accidental. If it's selfish, it's all because I want the team to win. That's what I would have said. But I don't really think I'm selfish. I'm a kind Christian man. I 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Another Patriots victory. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by the Rothman Institute. Life isn't made for pain. Life is for living. So turn to the top orthopedic experts in Central Jersey, Rothman Institute. The New England Patriots are Super Bowl champions again. Patriots beat the Rams last night 13-3, breaking the record for the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. Tom Brady is now the first player in NFL history to win 6 rings. Julian Edelman was named MVP. Sixers fell to the Kings on Saturday 115-108. The team has opted to not retain Corey Brewer. They'll play the Raptors tomorrow night. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 8. Flyers had their 7th win in a row over the weekend, beating the Oilers 5-4. They play the Canucks tonight at home. Our Flyers weekly show leads you into the game at 6. Tim McManus checks in with Mike today at 4:30. Our Big Green giveaway continues. Listen at 4 for your chance at $1,000. When it's snack time, it's slider time. Add White Castle sliders to your shopping list. Easy to make and will satisfy your craves. Stock up on the slider variety you crave from your local grocery. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
Anyway, let's see what the story is with the Foles situation and also why Carson Wentz felt the need to respond to the story that was in the Philly Voice by bringing in the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. There's a story in today about this. His name is Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Timmy, how you doing today?
Mike, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Great follow-up with Carson regarding that Philly Voice thing. And did anything he said to you in that surprise you?
No, I don't think anything surprised me. I thought that the tone was one where he didn't validate the story, but also didn't dismiss the story. You know, one of the things that he said is he tried to play private detective at one point to figure out who it would be, realizing that ultimately it didn't really matter. But the other part of that is, you can't really rule everything out. In other words, if there's anonymous sources saying they said X about him, mm-hmm. you know, he can't dismiss that totally.
Right.
You know, so he's leaving open the possibility that there are some players that did have an issue with him and therefore is kind of being reflective about it and saying, is there anything that I can do better to make sure that there isn't the type of friction friction that was described in the piece.
Yeah, and he said that clearly. That he said that I haven't really encountered any friction, and so I don't know what this is all about, but I guess it could be possible. And then he went on to say, yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, some of that, I think, had to do with sort of where his mind was during the rehab process. I think he got into tunnel vision a little bit when after suffering his torn ACL and LCL and was just hell-bent on getting back. And so he was kind of in his bubble that way. And he kind of described himself as being isolated from or feeling isolated from the rest of the group during that process because physically you're not in the same places as your teammates. And even when you're on the field, you're on a different field from the rest of the guys that are practicing when you're going through the rehab process. I think that kind of weighed on him. I think that he admitted that he was all over the place emotionally was his quote. And that's pretty telling for a guy that when he, and the way that he publicly faces, he seems kind of even keeled. But he admitted that he was very much on a roller coaster ride. And that through all of that, he may not have been the best teammate in the process. So, you know, he acknowledged that he has flaws. And I think that was probably the right tack to take, because if you go on the offensive and you don't acknowledge that some people might feel this way about you, then I think it could have an adverse effect.
Do you feel, in talking to him, that he feels the need to just, open it up to, some kind of a town hall meeting with his teammates? Or is this going to just play out the way, listen, I'm just going to play next year, and whoever wasn't with me, I'm going to win him over?
I don't think town hall. I don't think that he'll ignore it completely. But I think he got enough support from the bulk of his teammates where he doesn't really feel like it's this widespread, you know, animosity towards him or anything like that, or is something that's going to hold the team back. But at the same time, recognizes that, you know, he can't just dismiss it out of hand. So I'm sure he'll address it in some way, but I don't think it's going to be any kind of grand production. I think more so he's just going to keep, you know, his antenna up and be cognizant of the fact of, you know, what's the perception of me, and without kind of going away from who I am, is there anything that I can do so that identification of me doesn't exist?
All right, let's look at yesterday's Super Bowl. I don't know how bored you were, but the Super Bowl, a lot of people were, and a lot of people were saying that makes the Eagles look even better if they were able to ring that many points against Bill Belichick. The Rams couldn't do anything with them. That makes that victory even more sweeter. What did you think of the ineffectiveness of both offenses yesterday?
Well, yeah, I think it does reflect pretty well on Philly. Some people will take it down the road. If only Alshon Jeffery caught that pass in New Orleans, then maybe they could have actually won it again, and maybe they would have. But at least as far as it applies to last year's team, I think it does paint them in a really good light, because you don't want to read too much into what you see on the television, but when they show Jared Goff pregame, I thought he looked kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in his play, it seemed a bit shaky. Like, he just wasn't feeling confident in slinging it like he normally is. And if you contrast that with the way that Foles looked on that stage and the way that Peterson looked versus McVay against this Patriots team, I mean, I think it reflects really well on the head coach and the quarterback that they were able to deal on a huge stage like that against a juggernaut of a franchise in the Patriots that are daunting to go against. And to kind of push all that aside and have that sort of performance where Foles goes toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, who, by the way, had arguably his best performance in the Super Bowl ever last year and still lost, I think reflects incredibly well on the 2017 Eagles.
All right, that sounds good. Now let's get to the business at hand here and the Foles situation, because by next Sunday they have to pick up the option. Now, logically, it's the best thing they can do because they just can't squander a compensatory pick. So what do you think happens here?
I think it's still fluid, and let me kind of explain why. I believe that the intention was to exercise the option on Foles. I think the signals are there that that's what the Eagles were planning on doing. And then Foles' camp's move would be to opt out of that contract. So pay back $2 million, work your way towards free agency. Now, the whole other layer on top of that is the fact that the franchise tag may, in fact, be in play here. What the Eagles have to figure out and navigate is if they go the route of I'm going to make you pay me back $2 million. Does that impact at all the way that the negotiations go as it applies to franchise, tag, and trade? Because Foles has a little bit of leverage here in that he has to sign the transition tender or the franchise tender, and he would also theoretically have to kind of sign off on the team that he's going to, because that team would likely want to do a deal on the back end of this. In other words, he's got some power. He's got a little bit of clout here. And if the Eagles just try to take $2 million, which is supposed to be for buying back your freedom, and then saying, by the way, I'm going to tag you now so you don't really have that freedom, is that going to ruffle any feathers as it applies to the negotiations internally with Foles? So I believe that the original intent was to do this option, and it could still go that way. But I think it's something that the Eagles have to think about, whether it's worth it to get that $2 million if it could kind of mess up everything else.
So the option would be to just let him go and not pick up the option?
Well, so what they have to determine is whether they have a trade partner in place.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, then they're going to franchise tag him in order to get right. something for him as he goes out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if they ultimately decide that they can't find a trade partner, then they could exercise the option, have him buy it out, so they do get the $2 million on his way out the door, and then just let him walk. So that's why it's a pretty fluid process. But by this time next week, they have to figure out what they're going to do as it applies to the option, and then the window opens up between February 19th and March 5th for the franchise tag. So this is going to be one to watch for sure over the coming 2 weeks.
All right, let's take it to the extreme. If all this happens and they do wind up franchise tagging him, and he has that price tag of about $25 million, and they try to trade him there, and a team that's not palatable to any trading partner at all, is there a slight chance that he's making $25 million and he's still with the Eagles next year?
Well, that's where Foles kind of has serious power here, because there's no circumstance, in my view, that the Eagles can hold on to him for $25 million as a backup next year. I mean, that is just an extraordinary kind of burden on your cap. He'd be making significantly more than Wentz. I mean, there's just so many reasons why that wouldn't be tenable. So, no, I don't think that can happen. And that's why they need to have that trade partner in place first. And so while their intention may be to place the franchise tag on him, I don't know that they can say definitively that's what they're going to do yet, because they got to make sure that Foles is on board. They got to make sure that the trading partner is on board. Mm-hmm. And without those two factors, they just can't make that move. They can't afford to.
Okay, so franchising is only available to them to buy them more time to find a trade partner.
Franchise tag can only work if they have a trade partner. Because I believe if they put the franchise tag on them, Foles is going to sign it immediately. Because it's a good leverage point for him. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $25 million, it's great. I think that they'll rush to kind of sign that franchise tag, which means that the Eagles are in this spot where they just absolutely then have to move them. So really the homework, the legwork has to be done before they make that move, because it can't be a risk. It has to be mm-hmm. a certainty that they're going to be able to move them.
All right. Have you heard, this is a preposterous question, but we have to address it, because Kareem Hunt's going to wind up with somebody. Have you heard any conversation that they would be amenable to Kareem Hunt, or have they ruled him out?
I don't have definitive word on that either way. We can say through their recent history that they've kind of stayed away from those types of situations. It's one that they obviously would have to do a ton of work on. and weigh all the different factors. So I would lean towards the fact that they probably wouldn't do that, but not ruling it out completely. Still need to do a little bit more kind of investigative work on that before all I can say that for sure.
Sounds good. Timmy, great job, and we will talk to you.
All right, Mike. Sounds good.
There
Thanks.
He is, Tim McManus. Covering Eagles for ESPN.com. Good stuff in today's paper, going over a bunch of questions with one Nick Foles. 4:47, and the show's flown by. We only have like a few minutes left on television. You people on television don't want us to go away, do you? Let's stay on.
I don't think we have that choice, no.
In any event, it's the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5 Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philadelphia. Flyers have won 7 straight. Now, there's this guy on the email. The Flyers won 7 straight. You haven't even mentioned. We mentioned Murley. And, I mean, normally, if Flyers win in 7 in a row, it means something. But if Flyers win in 7 in a row right now, what does it mean? Do we have any, like, what does it mean? Does it mean that they're rising up, that they're going to be a challenge, get in the playoffs and be a challenge in the playoffs? Is that what it means? What does it mean?
Well, it means, to me, that the goalie has potential.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about a guy, he's showing it so far, and it's now becoming an extended period. That's what it means. To me, that's all it means.
I watched the game, actually.
Okay.
The Edmonton game. Because Edmonton's got some great young players, and for some reason they don't win. I don't know what it is.
Connor
McDavid's amazing. And when I tuned in, he got beaten on 2 goals that the shooter was better than him. I mean, the guy hit it from the left circle, like, bam, just beat him over his shoulder, and McDavid beat him. And I'm going, all right, well, and I turned it off, and I came back to it, and they had rallied. But, like, every time I tune in, there must be nights when he's stoning people.
Yeah. Right?
He's playing consistently well.
And he's a young kid, too. He's not going to be perfect.
Yeah, he is.
He's not going to be perfect at 20.
It just so happened when I tuned in, the dude beat him. It was his second goal of the year. He had a good shot, but he was not like a goal scorer. He just whipped it and he beat him on the left, over his right shoulder.
And he also doesn't know the book on guys yet because he's young. He doesn't know what guys do, what their tendencies are yet, so he's doing it all with the fundamentals. Listen,
it's definitely a bright spot for the Flyers, and they're playing better because the kid has energized them a little bit. I don't know if the coach has changed things. Winning 7 in a row is significant.
They're still 7 points out of the playoffs. This is what I need. I need them to be within 2 points of the playoffs, maybe 4.
Well, seven still to 10 in a row again. Hopefully, it's not the ignominy of.
You know what's going to come the other way.
Winning 10 in 2 straight years and not making the playoffs.
Yeah. And the 1 year they won 10, and somewhere later on they lost 10.
Yes. Bill in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Yeah, hi. First time caller.
What's up, Bill?
Watch your show. I enjoy it after a big game. And obviously, I don't look in the future right now. I'm looking at the past.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday's game was the most boring, horrible game I ever saw. But the officiating, you know, they have more power, I think, Mike, than the coaches or the players. They can make a call because I play football and I basically understand the game pretty good. And, you know, there's a penalty every game. They could call anything from tripping to
Could. And I thought they kept the whistle on the puck yesterday. They let the game play out, I thought. Well,
but how about that call, though, where impeding the runner from advancing after he caught the ball?
You need that's what the rule is. You need to have the guy has to take a step and make a run. It's like getting picked out. Like you get picked and you smash into a guy. It's the same thing. You catch the ball, you don't have your eyes on the hitter, so you have to turn your body and make a step and that gives you more protection than you just not turning around and then getting blasted as soon as you turn around. That's a health rule they put in. And I like it. It's a good rule.
Really, Mike?
Yes.
If he dropped the ball, it would have been incomplete.
But you're talking about injury. You're talking about trying to avoid head injuries. This is one of the new rules that is going to help that. That you have to give the guy a chance to brace his body for that kind of an impact.
Okay. I played football. I had a lot of head injuries.
Well, there you go.
And probably I'm brain dead. But basically what I'm saying also is about penalties is, why is it like, all right, let's say it's 2nd and 20 in that game there was, and you get called for defensive holding, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you give them the 5 yards, replay the play, and it's 2nd and 15?
Yeah, well, you know, that I would be okay with that. I mean, there's always rules that can be tweaked. The automatic first down rule or 5-yard penalty seems a bit strange. But that rule doesn't seem strange. You have to give the guy a chance to face the smash that he's going to take. Otherwise, he's not prepared for it. His body's not prepared for it. And there's more of a chance his body's going to get broken up if he's not tensing his muscles to absorb an impact. That's what the theory behind it is. Matt in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, just wanted to give you a call. It's my third time calling. I called the first time, the second time. Defer to you on basketball and baseball. You know your stuff. But how important a linebacker is now? Are they still the most insignificant position on the football field?
Listen, the only thing I can tell you is what teams do. Look at it. It's not me or you. It's not like Dick Butkus in the old days. Teams don't value linebackers like they used to. Linebackers now have to cover. They can't just sit in the middle and wait for a running back to bludgeon. They have to move with the play. It's different. The position's different, Matt.
When you're in a football, when you're in a football practice and you're on a football team, the most important, fierce group you have to have is vicious linebackers, and that's what did it yesterday.
I think your mind might be in the 60s and 70s when it comes to the linebackers.
Yeah, well, yesterday's
How old of a man are you, Matt?
I'm 42.
Really?
Played football.
42 when you have that kind of an attitude about linebackers?
Linebackers are the beasts of a defense. And any guy
linebackers are the last position that teams draft.
Oh, my goodness. That is so untrue.
Just is.
They stop the run. They rush the passer. They cover the back out of the backfield. They put pressure on the quarterback. They're the most
Matt, we've had this conversation before. The game has kind of changed, and it's time for us to get out of here on NBC Sports Philly. Thanks, everybody, for watching on TV. The 5 o'clock hour is ahead right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.